good to see we have scouts here again this weekend. I was speaking to one of the troop leaders, Ron, in the back, and I thanked him for being such a great example. All the troop leaders, great example to our young boys. This is most important, getting to Mass. That's ultimately, if we don't get to heaven, this life is a waste. And that's the purpose of life, to get to heaven. So you're learning these virtues today, and you're learning them from good men. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken from her. Today's gospel is centered around a supper. But there's another supper I'd like to turn our attention toward. I'm sure in the many homes of the families that attend our church, you can find a painting of the Last Supper in or near the dining room. It's an image of the night of Jesus' passion, when he offered his body and blood and instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But we must never forget that in that painting is Judas Iscariot, who would literally sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and 11 other disciples, Jesus' most intimate friends, who would, for the most part, abandon him within a few hours. The following day, Jesus was mocked, beaten, and condemned to death. As he hung upon the cross, only a few remained: the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John, and a couple other women. Everyone else, with the exception of his enemies, had fled. This is the church. This is part of her history. And it didn't end there. It was only the beginning. In Bishop Barron's book, Letter to a Suffering Church, he wrote, "John Henry Newman, one of the most perceptive theological minds in the tradition, made this rather startling and sweeping observation. He said the whole course of Christianity is but one series of troubles and disorders. Every century is like every other, and to those who live in it, it seems worse than all times before. The church is ever ailing. Religion seems ever expiring. Schisms dominate. The light of truth dim. Its adherents scattered. The cause of Christ is ever in its last agony." It fits perfectly into what St. Paul wrote in the second reading today. "In my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is his church." Because this is a form of suffering for us, for all of us. Where the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, has gone, namely to his agony and passion, so to the body, his church, you and I must follow. The suffering of each generation may vary considerably, but no one is exempt. Today, we have our own suffering to endure. Bishop Barron continues, "Unless we think that the corruption of priests and bishops is unique to our time, we should recall one of the wittiest rejoinders in church history. The Emperor Napoleon is said to have confronted Cardinal Consalvi, the Secretary of State to Pope Pius VII, saying that he, Napoleon, would destroy the church. To which the Cardinal deftly responded, 'Oh, my little man, you think you're going to succeed in accomplishing what centuries of priests and bishops have tried and failed to do?'" Finally, Bishop Barron quotes the early 20th century Catholic writer Hilaire Belloc, who was commenting on the moral and intellectual quality of the church leadership in his time. He wrote, "The Catholic Church is an institution I am bound to hold divine. But for unbelievers, a proof of its divinity might be found in the fact that no merely human institution conducted with such knavish imbecility would have lasted a fortnight." Not very complimentary, but it is a divine institution founded by Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that every priest and bishop is inept or weak or certainly not malicious, and that just because there have always been problems in the church, we should just ignore them. On the contrary, we need to do everything we can to make things better. That's what the saints do. They don't leave. They stand and fight. But we can't just focus on the bad. Too many people already judge the church according to Judas, and there's a heck of a lot more good. But Judas is not the head and founder of the church. Jesus Christ is. So today, if you can take a minute and look at that painting of the Last Supper, I don't want you to focus on Judas, who betrayed Christ, or even the other 11 apostles who fled. Instead, choose the better part. Follow Mary's lead from the gospel today and turn all your attention to the one in the center, Jesus Christ, because there is need of only one thing, one person, and that is Jesus Christ.